Welcome to Law Light, a quick dose of legal levity as we shine some light on the heartbeat of the legal field.
I'm Melinda Delmonico, CEO of Gibson Arnold & Associates. And today I'm joined by Terry Leave, Chief Legal Officer and Chief Corporate Resources Officer for Pinnacle Assurance. Terry's joining me today on our series, Diversity and Inclusion, Why It Matters. So Terry, welcome. I'm so pleased to be interviewing you today. Thank you for joining me.
Melinda, thank you for having me. It'll be a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. This is a really important topic. So I'm honored to be able to talk to you.
So I'd like to start. Could you tell me a little bit about your history for our audience?
Let's see. I attended the University of Southern California for both undergraduate and law school and started in private practice with a couple of different firms. And then I went in-house with GTE, which eventually became Verizon, and did a lot of international work for many years. Then I served as the chief legal officer at Sitel and general counsel for TennCare. And till Melinda, you and Gibson Arnold brought me out here to Denver, Colorado, where I'm the Chief Legal Corporate Resources Officer at Pinnacle Assurance. And I thank you for that.
Well, it was my joy and delight to work with you on that particular search. And also, such an honor to watch your career at Pinnacle and the teams that you build and just how you operate. And I feel so honored to have you on this topic because I think you're a leader on diversity and inclusion. So to really dive into this, let's start by defining diversity and inclusion. How do you define this topic in this term?
Thank you. I think of diversity as understanding and appreciating individual uniqueness and differences. I think of inclusion as that right to be respected and appreciated and valued. So, I mean, if you think of, to use a sports analogy, being on the team and sitting on the bench, I might be able to say that we have diversity, but inclusion's getting on the field. It's getting the ball. It's getting the blocking you need to succeed. So diversity is really important, but it really is a starting point. This is about inclusion.
Yeah, and I love that you're defining it that way because it is about inclusion. And when you look at us as a human being, the ability to thrive in an organization and to be heard and to be seen is a basic human right for everyone, right?
That's
right. That we're even having to have this topic is unfortunate to me in our society because it should be a human right that we're all respected in this planet, in this world.
No, I love that perspective, Melinda. I also love the fact that we're able to live in a place where we're able to have this conversation and why we can talk about, wouldn't it have been nice to have it not been necessary or to have had it 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago. It's great that we are having it now.
Yeah.
And not 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now.
So to expand on the importance of this issue, why is it important in the legal field and just in general?
You know, there may be some uniqueness to the legal field, but this is really important in general. And as you mention it as a human right, mm-hmm. what a great perspective and a great way to look at this. The criticality of being able to have varied input, no matter what that is, but coming from the different perspectives and life experiences that we have is what's critical. That singularity of thought and being so myopic is never going to be our answer to anything. We don't even know what we don't know at that point, right? We can't even see beyond. It's like being in a room where we talk about the stereotype of being surrounded by yes people and just hearing what you want to hear. If no one is willing to raise their hand and say the emperor has no clothes, you know, we're not advancing, we're not learning, we're not growing, we're not serving the way we're able to do. And it's the same with diversity. We need the diverse thoughts and experiences and perspectives because we only can see our own experiences, our own perspectives. And so we're cutting off all these opportunities and these great knowledges and learnings to be able to include. And it covers on both sides. You can look at it strictly from a business finite focus and say how much it would help your business to be able to reach your customers if you can truly understand your customers. And I can be strictly economic about it in that perspective. But as you mentioned, there's a human piece to this as well. And the business that we do is driven by humans, right? We have humans that are working for us and they're making the connections to our customers or humans. And so it's a truly great opportunity here when we recognize and point it out and say, this is important and this matters. And here's why.
And so I'm reflecting and just listening to you about all the different aspects of why it matters. You know, there's a lot of discussion about unconscious bias in our world and how we view the world. And I'm just curious about, you know, when we reflect on that and the idea of unconscious bias, what are your thoughts about that? Can you expand just on that concept a bit and your experiences around that?
You know, what a great opportunity to live in a place and time where if you design and promote and feed your culture, where you can have open dialogue, perspectives that perhaps you do not see that we call now unconscious bias, right? We haven't been using that phrase in our vocabulary for a long time, but things that we've never perceived because of our own backgrounds and experiences, to be able to have someone else say, when you say that, I hear this, and to be able to talk about it. Because if you don't, that's the whole point of being unconscious, right? If you don't realize it, how do you address it? How do you understand or appreciate someone else's experiences? So the criticality here is around engaging in that culture of conversation to be able, or that culture to be able to have that type of a conversation so that someone can express to you their perspectives that they understand so that you can have your own aha moments, right? It doesn't mean that we're all going to change each other's minds, nor is that necessary. But if we can be respectful to one another, and if we can listen and be genuine, we have those great opportunities to learn and grow. I don't think any of us are trying to say that we have all the answers and that we're all perfect, right? So there's a huge opportunity here to be more inclusive and to be more genuine.
Yeah, and vulnerable in the way that we receive each other.
Yeah.
So what factors make a great leader?
I think some of those that we just talked about, you know, mm-hmm. the vulnerability and the being genuine, honesty, integrity, transparency. We talk a lot about that in the business community these days, right? But being caring and listening, you know, the two ears, one mouth concept can go a long way, right? And what are we doing to listen, to learn, to be empathetic, to understand, and not trying to solution where our solutions may have unintended consequences because we're just trying to resolve it and get to the end, right? I mean, a lot of us can be very type A driven and we're looking to be able to, you know, to defeat that mountain. But if you think of it from like a Toyota Lean standpoint, and as you know, you try to work on something, what unintended consequences might come? So what are we doing to, in this case, lower the water level to expose the rocks so you don't float over them and tear a hole in the bottom of your boat, right? What do we need to do so we can break those rocks down? So those are the factors when I think of what a great leader is. It's about those personality traits. It's about that character. You can be a charged forward person and still be genuine and caring and be a great listener.
And when you think about on diversity, inclusion, leadership, and we're defining a great leader, it occurs to me that the leadership comes from each of us on this topic from a certain perspective, but at the same time, the head of an organization or the manager of teams, those leadership skills become really important to the concept of listening and vocalizing and having the two ears and the one mouth, right? Yeah. And being vulnerable to understand that.
Well, no, and you're absolutely right. And that's where the culture becomes so important. What are the values of an organization, and what are an individual's values? Because there is a critic, there's a an important aspect of this that is top down, but it's not just top down. It's top down, it's bottom up, it's middle out, right? I mean, this is the proverbial village, right? This is a teamwork approach that we're talking about here. And that's the whole point. That's the idea of the inclusion to begin with here is, what are the great opportunities to learn from someone who has different perspectives, experiences, viewpoints than I do?
So for you personally, in your leadership role, what is your approach on this topic? How do you enhance your organization and meet objectives with diversity and inclusion?
Well, thank you. I think there's a couple of ways we can go about approaching that kind of a question about how do you approach diversity and inclusion. And there may be some differences between them. For example, internal to the organization, how do I approach that versus external to the organization? And how do I approach that in my relationship with vendors and outside counsel? You know, we could talk maybe a little bit more about that. But if we're talking about internal, you know, you start by establishing this sense of belonging for all, right? Making a connection to the organization. You know, you want empathetic leadership. You want leaders, you know, that are able to make their story their own and why it matters. This is a forever exercise. This isn't a one-time training. This isn't check the box. This isn't tokenism. This is about trying to move and arrive somewhere where we are not today. It's our vision of where we want to go. And so when you think about, you know, what is the brand of your organization, or what is your personal brand that you are trying to share with others? You know, if you tie your values and your mission together and you say, this is my brand, where is there diversity and inclusion and caring in your values as a company or as an individual? So my approach, that's how I would go about it. But I say it starts with that sense of belonging when you're talking about an organization and making that connection to the organization. So culture becomes critical.
And so let's just say that you're an organization that is aware of the need in their particular company to have more diversity and inclusion. But they haven't really created a format or a platform for it, and they're looking into it. What would be some advice that you would give along with the leadership concept that we talked about, but more practical steps, I guess?
What a great question. And, you know, some of that may differ from organization to organization, right? I mean, it's one thing if you're an organization of 5 to 10 employees, and probably another one if you're, you know, 25 to 30,000 employees, in terms of what are you going to do, you know, without trying to set up something that's too bureaucratic, but something that's going to be formalized and that you're able to, you know, embed into the entire culture so that people understand it. It starts with, I think, a true desire, and then creating an organization around that desire, right? Do you have the right people sitting in a room to even be engaging in the conversation to begin with? So if I have a diverse group that is involved in that conversation and measure diversity in lots of different ways, right? Right now, we're talking in diversity and inclusion as a society, much more heavily focused, let's say, on BIPOC community, right? So the Black, Indigenous, people of color community. And that is critical that we address that specifically. But diversity is also broader than that. We can be talking about gender and sexual orientation and a whole host of other categories, right, that we're very familiar with. And they're all very important, right? So we're not trying to back burner anything, but we are at this moment of time also talking about maybe we have made some progress on some fronts and nowhere near enough on another. And so we're trying to focus on that. So when you think about creating this group and you're bringing this group together to say, let's talk about this and what can we do in our organization? start by making sure you have a diverse group. And I think one of the things that I have seen that can be challenges for some groups is to think of traditional diversity of the have-nots and not include any of the haves. And so you're not able to then understand the completeness to be able to, how you're going to be able to get your message out to the people you want to understand what you have to say if they're not included in some of that participation. So truly making it a diverse group so that people, so that you can test your messaging. So is it going to resonate and accomplish what you're hoping to accomplish or not? Or do you end up talking in silos and people hear what they want to hear to begin with? So, you know, start with your subgroup.
So Terry, just to expand on that, I've researched AMLA 200, and I've also looked at the Fortune 200 corporations, looking at women and diverse leaders who are in the top job, general counsel or managing partner of the entire firm. And it's extremely limited. So when we talk about the have-nots and haves on this particular topic, there are more men in the roles of leadership roles in corporations and in law firms that it isn't hugely diverse right now. And so, you know, being on the receiving end of that, of the shift of consciousness of how do we create more diversity in leadership, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this challenge. And also, you know, what is the perspective of the man that is in that leadership role now, who has worked very hard, has grown their career, and they're hearing regularly, there's not enough women, there's not enough diverse backgrounds in these leadership roles. And how are they feeling? And how do we address it from that, from their perspective as well?
Yeah, what a challenging question, right? I mean, the one that when you're tackling the topic, you know, you face and you look at and you scratch and said, so how do we go about approaching this? I mean, if you think about putting that, like I said, that community, that grouping together, and you have that diverse group. So let's take the law firm example, and you say, okay, great, I'm going to get a bunch of 1, 2, 3 year associates of color and put them together on this committee and tell them this is important. My perspective is you failed. You lost an opportunity here, right? Where is this an opportunity to also include not other forms of diversity, starting with how about some partners as well? And how about the managing partner? If you want to make some change, get some people who are the decision makers in the room that are going to be able to hear part of this conversation to begin with. And so if that means, you know, statistically speaking, based on the studies that you're doing, that, you know, you've got the white male leader in the room, great. Does he understand where his role is to listen and not take over? Are people going to feel intimidated? Is the culture one of inclusion where they feel like they can have that conversation with him sitting in the room or not? If you want to make a change, you have to have the right culture. It has to start there, because if the person sitting in the room by their nature shuts the conversation down, there's a different conversation we have to have first. Right. But you need that mixture of experience and thought in that room. You know, you mentioned the same thing from a gender perspective. Right. I believe, you know, the statistics are, and, you know, you're probably a lot closer to this than I am, that we're seeing a lot more women in law school and in those more junior positions as they're coming in. And you see many more partners than we did in the past. But you're not seeing that ultimate leadership. And why is that? And there could be all kinds of socioeconomic reasons of what's going on there that is distinct from the conversation we're having. But there's also a lot of great opportunity, right? And so what is the opportunity we have to expand that diversity so that you have people in that leadership role without the quote unquote white male feeling, you know, that he's the target and the only way you get there is to eliminate somebody, right? You're just telling me I can't have a job anymore. And that's not what we're saying. I mean, I take a very capitalist view of the world, right? I don't view there being a single pie and the larger my slice is, the smaller somebody else's slice is. I say just bake a second pie. Now, I realize there's only one GC, but you're talking about the change. So what are you doing about your succession planning? And who is in your succession planning role, right? No one's asking to fire people right now strictly because they're white males. But we're talking about growing and changing, and people do switch jobs and they move forward and they retire and things happen. So great. What are you doing from a succession standing planning standpoint, one level down, two levels down, three levels down, to be able to broaden and have a more diverse opportunity for people so that when you bring them in, you know, it's about helping people thrive. It's not about trying to make them fit, right? So what are we doing to help them thrive? And one of the ways we do that is by mentoring, right? So what are we doing to mentor, to move those people up? So it's a long play. This isn't something that we solve next week, nor should we be trying to solve it next week. There are things we can do immediately. But this, as I said before, it's the same with, it's not a one-time training. This is a forever shift of our thinking.
Yeah, very beautifully said. And I think also the point of leadership in this particular topic in a law firm or in a corporation of having the top leaders involved and really involved on the committee and working closely. I know that there's a Houston firm, Vincent and Elkin, who the managing partner sits on the diversity committee and leads it actually. And I think those factors of engaging that discussion and making sure that that discussion is broad is very well said, because you are bringing people along and you're creating structures for inclusion.
And it's our opportunity to lead. Like we've talked about this internally in terms of how we're working within our organization, but we have the equal opportunity to be able to influence external to the organization. And hopefully you have the culture where it does not matter what the role is that you have, that it's only the person hit the pinnacle of the company who's allowed to be able to make these decisions, but that people are allowed to speak up and challenge and raise ideas that's healthy. But where the decision maker has that ability to make the decision, look at the great example we have from the general counsel of Coca-Cola and the letter that he put out looking for greater diversity in the law firms that are providing services to Coca-Cola, right? Coca-Cola has a lot of leverage that it is able to exercise with the firms that, you know, serve it. Not every company has that leverage, but you do have leverage, right? So define what is it you're able to do, right? What can you do when you talk to the firms that serve you to say, I want greater diversity of thinking in the services that are being provided to me. And I don't want tokenism. I want people who are actually contributing. What are you going to do? And let's set some goals together. And how are we going to hold one another accountable? If you're not having the conversation and picking up the phone, then it's not as likely to happen, right? You know, the law firms may be doing things on their own, but I'm pretty sure if their clients are saying this is a requirement to be doing our work, then there's going to be more effort made, right? Different communities have different mixes of diversity right now. You know, certain cities don't look like other cities. You know, many cities in the Midwest aren't going to look like large metropolitan cities in LA, New York, Atlanta, let's say Chicago, right? But what can we be doing in our world where we have influence? And the point is, do something.
Okay, that sounds very inspirational. And I believe that we all need to do something. We all need to take a perspective of look at ourselves internally and take those steps. And that you have, in a leadership role, the leverage, the power, so to speak, to actually take steps and make a different outcome is extremely inspirational to me. So what truly inspires you?
We've talked about diversity and inclusion, you know, to just touch real briefly on equity as well, right? And I'm inspired by the equitable opportunities that we have. We're going to diversify more and more, and that's great. We need to include, but we need to include equitably. And I'm inspired by the fact that we're having the conversations, that we're being open and honest about them, and that we realize people have different perspectives, and that's healthy. That's part of what the diversity is. We're not here to say I'm right and you're wrong. We're here to say, I'm here to listen. Tell me about your experience. that's inspiring to me.
Yeah. And to me too. I think the going back to our beginning of our discussion of listening and vulnerability and really honoring each other is truly ultimately this humanness and what we're talking about. So Terry, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Important topic.
Well, I'm so very grateful to hear your viewpoint. So thank you to our guest, Terry Lee, for joining me today. And thank you so much for tuning in to Law Life from Gibson Arnold and Associates. Please like us and subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating to let us know how we're doing. We look forward to connecting with you again on our next episode.
Rely on one another, feel the pride, let's show.